Well, as we shared, we're going to connect up with what we shared on Sunday on this resurrection life that we have received, this eternal life that has caused us to be raised from death into life, into eternal life, resurrection life. And it has caused all of us to become brand new persons in Christ. And so the epistles, the gospels, as we, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those begin to reveal and forecast what was about to happen. And we see that the epistles actually revealed truth about the crucifixion and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, and also the restoration of mankind. And so that truth was revealed, and we begin to understand the Bible and redemption in the light of the epistles. And so we want to take a look, and we begin to look at this in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 in the King James Version. And I want to just share this particular truth before we begin. But Colossians chapter 1 begins to show us what happened when we accepted Christ, when we believed in our heart and confessed with our mouth. It says, "You shall be saved." Well, what happened when you became saved, when you received eternal life and this resurrection life came into us? It says in the King James of Colossians 1, verse 13, it says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son." So we're in a new kingdom and we've been delivered from something. And what does it say here? It says we've been delivered from the power of darkness. Now I want you to just look at that term, the power of darkness. This, what I was looking here is Satan can only operate as the power of darkness. And I want us to look at that. And the reason I'm pointing this out is because I want to point out a certain truth here. So Satan can only operate as the power of darkness. His works only succeed in the dark. But the light of the gospel stops anything that works in the dark. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. I want to expand on this truth that Satan operates and only can operate as the power of darkness, but the light of the gospel, when it shines in, does something, doesn't it? Truth is revealed. And so 2 Corinthians 4, 4, it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest," boy, I tell you, I put that in caps in these notes, "lest," what? "The light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So what does that mean? When the light of the gospel shines into darkness, it begins to reveal truth. It exposes the untruth. It exposes things. And the devil at that point cannot continue to darken if you receive, see what it says? "Lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in." So that means it has to shine in. So there's a part on mankind's part where they have to let the light of the glorious gospel shine in. They have a choice to make. They can disdain it or reject it, and then it doesn't shine in. And they continue to do what? Just like it says in Romans, or I believe it's in one of the Romans chapter 1, where their darkened minds continue to do ungodly things. So when we let the light of the glorious gospel come in, it begins to change not only our thinking, but when we let it in and we believe it, as we did, when we believe in the Lord Jesus and we confess with our mouth that God raised him from the dead, we're saved. So that's because we did what? We let the light of the glorious gospel shine in unto darkness. Glory to God. So the epistles written by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost is really, if you think about it, is a continuation of Christ's teachings and his own teachings. They were, these revelations were really the thoughts of Christ that he carried away unspoken when he left this earth. So they were begun, they were revealed by the Holy Ghost unto Paul. And so as we look back what we were sharing on Sunday, and let's continue here. And we're just sharing 2 Corinthians 4:4, but let's look at John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 5. It says something similar to 2 Corinthians 4:4. But John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life," and what does this say? "And the life was the light of men." Now look at verse 5. It says, "And the light shineth in darkness." This is what we're just talking about, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in. The light, which is the life that we've received. So we've received life, and it's the light unto what? Our spirit man. We've become a brand new person in Christ. And that says, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Glory to God. In John 6:63, Jesus saying here, he said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words," see, "the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And you could say, "And that life is the light that shineth into men." So we know from Psalm 119:130, it says, "The entrance of his word giveth light." Now, our revelation, "and it giveth understanding unto the simple." So important to the power of the word of God, the gospel, which is life and light. It's spirit and life. And so when we look at, as we were sharing, so often we share this, but the purpose of Jesus coming, he said what? "For God so loved the world," John 3:16-17, "God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," see, "lest the light of the glorious gospel should be received, mankind continues to walk in darkness. So whoever should believeth in him should not," what? "Perish, but have everlasting life." And then verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to do what? To condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved." Glory to God. So we looked at some things on Sunday about his purpose and his coming, his crucifixion. And I want to just kind of add to this a little bit on we know from Scripture that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 in the King James, it said, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So it wasn't his sin that went to the cross. It was us. We were crucified with him, and we'll share that. But Galatians 3:13, it says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." And 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who his own self bare whose sins? Our sins, and his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." But you see here, I wanted to highlight this. It said, "Who he bare our sins in his own body." And then it goes on, it said, "We should live unto righteousness." And he gave us the power to do that through his life, through his word. Galatians 2:20, it goes on, and familiar scripture verse, it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So we can see here from the scriptures and the revelation that was revealed that God sent his son to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh, as it says in Romans, and for sin to redeem mankind. But let's look, and as the scripture highlights that we were buried with him in baptism, in Romans chapter 6, in verses 4, 5, and 6, I want us to take a few moments and look at this, because I don't think we've meditated enough on the power of the resurrection and its impact on our spirits. Sometimes we say, "Oh yeah, okay, I'm a new creature in Christ, but I'm still struggling with all of these things in my life. I'm still struggling with smoking. I'm still smoking with drinking. I'm still smoking, struggling with cursing and whatever it is, you know, somebody might be struggling with some other fleshly sin." But we want to take a look at the gospel, the light of the gospel, and see what it has to say about these things. So when we take a look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this," verse 6, "that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." So sometimes, you know, people go, I hear that, but I'm still, I got a weakness. Well, you may, but the mind is the gateway to the heart. And the devil knows this, and the more we feed on things that cause our flesh to act in a certain way, we need what? Not darkness, but we need light to shine in so that it can do what? Change our thinking, change our perspective. And the light of the gospel has power in it. So I want us to look at a few translations that I'm going to read. One is the Weymouth translation of Romans chapter 6 and verses 6 and 7. Just those two verses. It says, "This we know, that our old self was nailed to the cross with him." What self? Your old self. Now look what it says. "In order that our sinful nature might be deprived of its power, so that we should no longer be the slaves of sin." And then verse 7, it says, "For he who has paid the penalty of death stands absolved from his sin." And the New Living Translation of verse 6 and 7, it says that we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might what? Lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. So it's lost its power. That's what we opened up in the beginning with Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. It said that we've been delivered from the power of darkness. Sin does not have power over us anymore. Now, you might say, well, yeah, I still have this weakness. But again, if you let the power of the gospel come in and you meditate upon it and you confess it, you will begin, as I say it, miss it, sin, or miss it less and less and less and less. So if you have a problem in a particular area, if you will let the light of the gospel shine in and let the truth of this register on your heart, you'll miss it less and less. You'll walk free of it. You're already free, but the truth of it has to register upon your heart, your spirit. Now I'm going to read a few other translations that this is the J.B. Phillips translation. It says, "Let us never forget that our old selves died with him on the cross, that the tyranny of sin over us might be broken." So sin is broken over us. And it says, "For a dead man can safely be said," I like the way the J.B. Phillips put this. It says, "For a dead man can safely be said to be immune to the power of sin." If you're dead, you're dead. And this says here that a dead man is immune to, you could say, to everything. So in this case, it says here, this translation, a dead man is immune to the power of sin. Now, let me read, this is another couple of different translations, the Johnson, and it's actually a pair of, not a translation, but a paraphrased rendering. It says here, "So that we are no longer controlled by old habits and attitudes." So you may have a habit or an attitude thing, but the light of the gospel shining in will change habits and attitudes, because the gospel, the word, broke the power of sin in our lives. And so the truth of that must register on it, on our heart. This is the Hudson translation. It says that sin's control of the body might be rendered null. And this is another translation. It's called the Rickert, R-I-C-H-E-R-T. It says, our former evil identities have been executed, so to speak. It's a good, powerful way of saying that. And so what we're sharing is that sin's power has been broken in our lives as a result of us what? Becoming a brand new person in Christ. This resurrection life that we celebrated and made remembrance of. I mean, we celebrate it every day, but Easter Sunday, we just celebrated this new life that we have and our Master's resurrection. It was really his resurrection was our resurrection. Resurrection from the dead. So we look at, let's take a look at Colossians, or actually Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 and the Young's literal translation. So when the scripture said we've been delivered from the power of sin, sin has been paid for. And when it was paid for, we can see in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, this is the Young's literal translation. It says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up. Why? Because of our being declared righteous. So the moment God said, okay, sin has been paid for, been paid for. It says the shackles of death were broken on Jesus, and it said we were raised from the dead. So his resurrection was our resurrection. Resurrection from what? From darkness, from sin's grip in our lives. So let's take a look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 in the Passion Translation. And this is why I like the Pauline Revelation, because it unfolds and reveals who we've become in Christ. So Colossians chapter 2, and starting in verse 14 in the Passion Translation, it says, he canceled out, he's talking about Jesus here, he canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Isn't that wonderful news? Everything we once were in Adam has been placed on his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. And as I was sharing Sunday, that means there's no evidence. If this says here something cannot be retrieved, that means he erased all of our sins and they cannot be received. You know, they use this word expunged. It means to wipe out or obliterate something or to cancel it or erase it. It says it can't be retrieved. So you can go digging around looking for it, but God has said it's erased. It's paid for. So your sins have been paid for. So sin has therefore been eradicated. It's deleted. It's canceled. And what does that mean? We've been delivered from it. Colossians 1:13. We've been delivered not only from it, but from the power of it. And that's why when we started this evening, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto us, then we still can walk in these issues of life. But the power of the gospel, the power of life, the power of the word of God getting into our hearts delivers us. That's why when he said in Psalm 107, he sent his word and healed them. So the power of the word of God will deliver us and heal us. So let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, very familiar in the King James. And then we can look at the Amplified Classic. But in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," this is the key, being in him, in Christ, "he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away." That's what we just got done reading. Our old self, our old sins, our old nature was nailed. The record that was against us and held against us, as it said, that old arrest warrant, he nailed it to the cross, and it cannot be retrieved. So it's been done away with. We are a brand new person. "Behold, all things are become new." I like this in the Amplified Classic, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ," the Messiah, "he is a new creature," a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition, this is what we're talking about here, has what? Passed away. "Behold, the fresh and new has come." We might say, "Well, yeah, I hear that, but I'm still struggling." You've got to let the glorious gospel shine in. Let it begin to register on your heart. Meditate upon it day and night. Speak it. This is what we talk about, 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, we believe, and therefore we do what? We speak, it says, according as it is written. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So we must do what? Believe that I've been delivered, and I have to do what? I've got to speak it. I have to say, I'm delivered. I'm delivered from these temptations. I'm delivered from this cursing. I'm delivered from this smoking habit. I'm delivered from this pornography habit. I'm delivered from this drinking habit, or whatever habit it is that you have. You might have, your habit might be worry, you say, or could be grief. You know, the devil will fight us in a soulic realm, in our soul, in our thinking. And we need to do what? Believe that we've been crucified with Christ. We need to believe that we've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, and we need to say it. And as we speak it, the power of God is released in our lives. And it will do what? It'll free our thinking up. It'll free the temptations up that come in our lives. You know, think about this truth. Faith can't stop the mountains from coming. Faith can't stop the temptations, but faith can move the temptation. Faith can move the mountain. So we can't stop. Brother Hagin used to say it another kind of way, you know, an old colloquial way. He said, "You can't stop a bird from flying over your head." He said, "But you can sure stop it from building a nest." So his point was, you can't stop the thoughts, you can't stop the temptations, but you can do what? You can not allow it to stay and take up and build a nest, as he used to say. So Jesus is alive. So this reality for Paul was, "Yet not I," as he said in Galatians 2:20, "but it's Christ that does what? That he lives in us, in me." So everything that Satan did in Adam, God reversed in Christ. So we are brand new persons in Christ, and the gospel and the power of the gospel has shined in and delivered us, made us brand new persons in Christ. So Jesus is alive, not just in heaven, but in us by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. So believers are alive not just on earth, but also in heaven by virtue of what? Being in Christ. We've been raised and seated with him in heavenly places What does it say? In Christ. So we have been seated in a place of authority in Christ, in Him. And so we can, as the scripture says, let's just take a quick look. I didn't have this, but let's take a look at Romans chapter 5 and verse, I believe it is 17. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. So we're seated in Christ in heavenly places, and that we can do what? Rule and reign where? In this earth. The body of Christ is in the earth. The master, the head, is in heaven. But we're seated with Him in heavenly places, in Him, in Christ. So verse 17, it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall do what? Reign in life by one Jesus Christ." So this life that we have, we're meant to reign in life, and reign what? By Him in Christ, and through Him over the things that the God of this world, what did we say at the beginning? He can only operate as the power of darkness. But we've been delivered from the power of darkness. So He can't rule and reign over us anymore. We've been delivered from the power of sin, as we read in these other scriptures. So these realities that we see in the Pauline revelation, there's so much truth in the fact if we meditate more and more on who we have actually become in Him, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even what? The forgiveness of sins. So we've been redeemed from the power of sin, and we've been redeemed by His blood, and we are in Him, in Christ. And so it's a wonderful truth. Just wanted to take some time and meditate upon that and focus upon what we've been buried, or it says we've been buried with Him in baptism into death, like as Christ were raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. So we've been redeemed, and let's just take a look at this scripture verse in verse 4 again in the King James, Romans 6, 4. And let's just cap it with this. It says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father." And then what does it say? "Even so, we also should walk in newness of life." So the revelation that we see here is that when we've become a brand new person in Christ, we became brand new, and we should walk in newness of life. Now, if you're struggling in that particular area, then take a look at what it is you're watching, or what it is you're looking at, or what you're listening to, or who you're surrounding yourself with. And if it's darkness, and that which you're listening to was full of darkness, then what's the cure? Lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in. So we need to let the light of the gospel shine in, into our hearts, into our minds, and it will do what? It will free you from the grips of the things that the devil tempts you with and throws at you. So we just wanted to share that and meditate a little bit about on who we have become in Christ and this great resurrection life that we've received and the power of it. So Father, we thank You this evening. We're so grateful for the life that we've received, the resurrection life. And we thank You that we walk in newness of life. Thank You that we've been delivered. We have a choice to make in life, and we can walk above the evils in this earth realm. And you designed it that way. You knew that the devil still has the power to operate in this earth realm, but you hold the keys of death and hell, and you've given us dominion and authority. You said, what things soever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. So you gave us dominion and authority in Christ to overcome. And you said to us in 1 John 5:4, you said, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And we know this, the scripture we said, we just got done, that Satan is the god of this world. So whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and we could say the things of this world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we can overcome, and we can walk as an overcomer, because the scripture said we are overcomers in Christ. Glory to God. And you could say we're overcomers in the Word. So, Father, we're so grateful this evening. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for working and operating in and through us and revealing to all of us truth from your Word. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for those that may be watching. And we thank you for those that may not have made a decision in their life to ask Jesus into their heart. It's not enough to just believe that he is the Son of God. It's not enough to believe that God raised him from the dead, but we must make an affirmation. We must make a verbal choice, and we must confess what we believe. So let's say this simple prayer this evening. If you happen to be watching and you know you haven't done that, here's an opportunity for you to receive Christ as your Savior, to believe. You may already believe, but you need to confess with your mouth what you believe. And there may be some that maybe have been struggling in their life, maybe they've accepted Jesus, and maybe struggling in their life, maybe they need to rededicate their life and ask God to help them to operate in this newness of life. So let's make this profession of faith. Father God, I thank you for sending Jesus here to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And we thank you that he is the mediator of a new covenant, a better covenant. And he's the mediator between God and man. And so he is the Savior of the world. He is the Christ. And I receive him. I believe that. I believe that you raised him from the dead when sin was paid for. And I ask him, Jesus, to come into my heart, to make something new of me, change my heart, cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. And I decree with my mouth that I am saved and will serve you the rest of my days. So if you made that simple profession of faith with your mouth, then let us know by either emailing to us at redeeminglovecc.org or mailing something to us, as they call it, by, you know, the old-fashioned way, or call us by phone. And that information is on the screen, 845-623-9300. Glory to God. God is a good God. You know, I heard somebody make this, I guess, an example or used an example. I thought it was pretty good. He said, you know, if you fly on an airplane, and most of us have, and he said, if you sit in the exit row, he said, you know, the stewardess will come around and share some information. You know, I have, many of us have. You sit in the exit row and they'll say, you know, ma'am or sir, you know, you just want to make you aware you're sitting in the exit row. Would you be willing to help in the event of an emergency? Are you capable of doing that? Well, reason I'm using that example is because they don't want a nod. They want you to say with your mouth, yes. They can't deal with a nod. They go, that ain't good enough. So the same way, I'm using that as a natural example. It's not good enough to nod and say, yeah, I believe. Yeah, mm-hmm. You've got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And you've got to affirm or say what you believe. So glory to God. God is good.